are listening to the Willpower Podcast. Welcome to the show. I am Will Holdren, and I talk with some of the most influential CEOs, entrepreneurial leaders, and thought leaders to try and reveal the secrets that has led to their success. I believe that with the right knowledge and mindset, you can do anything you set your mind to. So if you want to learn how to change your life for the better, if you want to learn how millionaires actually became wealthy, or if you want to develop and start your own business from the ground up with the right knowledge to help you, then you are in the right place, because this is the Willpower Podcast. Hey. No way that we go is a one-way street. Nothing that we love is a one-day key. And if we gon' do it, we gon' do this now. And if we say we gonna, we gon' hold this down. No way. How's it going, everyone? My name is Will Holdren, and I am the host of the Willpower Podcast. Today, we have a very special guest, and her name is Holly Haven. And Holly is actually an eXp realtor, and she is based out of Texas. So it's an absolute honor to have her on here today. So Holly, thank you so much for joining me.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Of course, my pleasure. I'm really looking forward to this conversation. I love talking with agents and kind of figuring out how they got to where they are today. So I'm excited for this, and I'm sure my audience is as well. And so to kind of just get started, I kind of want to go into your childhood a little bit, so you can kind of talk about what your childhood was like and how it kind of helped turn you into who you are today.
So what my childhood was like?
Yeah, oh, and how it helped turn you into who you are today. Yeah. Yep.
Mine probably is a little different. My family is all entrepreneurs. So my parents owned and ran a family business from the time I was small, and still run it today. And actually, my parents were divorced. So both my mom and stepdad ran a family-owned business. And then my dad is an entrepreneur and owns multiple businesses. So we didn't grow up with kind of that normal corporate, you know, lifestyle. Everything was it's kind of like what you killed is what you got to eat.
Yep. That's amazing. And so you had the entrepreneurial blood coming up. So I love to see that. And so when you were growing up, did you want to become a realtor and go in that side of entrepreneurial space, or do you have other aspirations, or what did that look like?
Yeah, I don't think I had any idea. I say every day, I'm still not sure what I want to be when I grow up. Maybe one day I'll figure it out. Yeah. I don't think as a kid I was like, oh, I want to be a realtor. I just don't think I knew. I knew that I didn't like working for other people. I'm very strong-willed and have a lot of my own opinions that I feel strongly about. And so I knew that that might not be the best atmosphere for me in corporate America. So, yeah.
Gotcha. Well, I love that. That's what a lot of entrepreneurs think as well. So it must be something there. So after high school, did you end up going to college, or you go straight into the corporate world first, or become a realtor right away, or what did that look like?
Yeah, I went to college. So graduated. I grew up in the Hirschfields, Bedford area, kind of out by Dallas-Fort Worth Airport. So I graduated college, moved away about 3 hours away from home, right? Your first big experience away from home. So I went to college. I did not know what I wanted to be. I had no idea what I wanted to get my degree in. My parents said, just get a piece of paper. Nobody cares what it says. So I ended up deciding I was going to get my degree in hotel restaurant management. Okay. So that's what I did. I ended up graduating from a different school. I graduated from North Texas in Denton, and have a degree in hotel restaurant management, which if you ever see an old resume of mine, it probably just says a degree in management. Because I did not go into the restaurant or hospitality industry, really. I had worked in the industry all through college and high school, and thought it seemed like a really great idea, but the hours are terrible if you actually want to go into like restaurant management. So yeah, after college, I was telling somebody the other day, my first job out of college, this might date me a little bit, I got my first offer letter for Brinker International. They own Chili's and Macaroni Grill and all those restaurants. And it was a corporate job in accounting with my hotel restaurant degree. Oof. And it was for $24,000 a year. And I was so excited to get that offer letter.
Man, that's not a lot nowadays.
I know, right? Now it's like one commission check.
Right. How about it? Times have changed.
Yeah.
Awesome. Sure. That's awesome. So it always amazes me that, you know, a lot of realtors I talk to, they're always like in the restaurant industry, like one way or another. And here's another example of that, you know, so you kind of got that background of just kind of dealing with people and kind of learning how to analyze them and just talk to them normally. So from that background of yours, like, what do you think has been the most important thing that you've learned from being in the restaurant industry before you transitioned into real estate?
Yeah, I think some of that came even from my parents, because the business they own is a very service-oriented business. And I know my mom said my whole life growing up, if you only have service to sell, you better sell it really well and you better be good at it. Right. And so that was kind of ingrained in us from an early age, is to really just provide great service. So the hospitality industry, I think, just beats that into you a little bit more, right? The customer's always right. You do everything kind of bend over backwards to make sure that the customer experience is a good one. And I think that's why it translates so well into our industry, is all we have to sell is service. We don't have the 100 homes that we might show, right? Those aren't our homes. We don't have right. that actual inventory. So we're selling a service. And I think that's why it really connects so well.
Yeah, that's a really great point. And another thing is that you also deal with people that don't always agree with you and that are very argumentative and are always negative. And so it's good to be able to learn how to kind of handle those kind of people when you transition yeah. over. So
we call it Gen Pop.
Yeah, exactly. It's a population. Yeah, exactly. It's something that everyone needs to learn how to do. So it's cool that you kind of learned that for going into real estate, actually.
We actually made both of our kids work in the restaurant industry during high school and college. That was one of my roles when they were time for them to get jobs. I was like, you have to go work in the hospitality industry, even if it's just for, you know, a year, just one good job. You need to really understand what the general public is really like.
Yeah, that's smart. Well, they have a good mom, because that's smart of you, because I wish I would have done that. And no matter what industry you go into, you're gonna have to learn how to talk to people. So
yeah,
extremely important. So after your hospitality industry, you're kind of in there for a little bit. Did you go right into real estate after that? And then why did you decide to make that switch?
Yeah. So, I originally got my license in 2002 and found out that I was pregnant with my youngest son about the same time. So it slowed us down a little bit. We were young. We had two young children, or one on the way and one toddler. And so real estate being all commission based, I kind of got into the industry in 2002, but I really just had a hard time, you know, we needed paychecks. We needed that cash flow. So I had a hard time really getting going back then. So I kind of was in and out of real estate while I was working other jobs. I worked for my parents' family business for a while. I actually owned a fitness center for a little bit, for a couple of years. So I kind of did all these different things trying to figure out, you know, really exactly what I wanted to do, but I was licensed the whole time. So I got kind of left real estate for a little bit, right? Took a little pause because I needed actual paychecks there in the early days before I knew what I was doing. Mm-hmm. And got back into real estate in 2006, 7, and 8. And oh, so geez. You can see where that's headed.
Great time to be back in it.
Yeah. So 2008, we obviously had the financial lending crisis, and I left real estate at that time. And I was kind of trying to figure out what I wanted to do. My kids were still young. My youngest one was, you know, kind of partially home with me. And I decided that I enjoyed the education aspect of real estate. I worked with a lot of first-time home buyers during those few years and really enjoyed, you know, helping them through that process. And the craziest thing I've ever done, I decided to go teach high school. So I took a break from real estate and I taught high school for 4 years. And I don't teach high school anymore. So
yeah, that's funny.
Yeah, yeah. So I did enjoy it. I taught like home ec classes. I had dance team and cheerleaders. So it was fun. It was the fun side of high school, if I could say that. It wasn't like, you know, English or history or something like that. So we did have a good time, but I had a teacher that I was a friend that I was teaching with, and she left the industry and joined a team, a real estate team. She left teaching. And so she said, you have to come work with us. And that was kind of me getting back into real estate around 2014. I went to work for a team as more like their operations director. So I've kind of been on every side of real estate at this point.
Gotcha. That's pretty amazing. So you technically had your license back in 2002 and didn't really do anything with it until 2014. So
yeah,
that's pretty interesting to see. And so when you're going that 50-50 kind of being a real estate agent, you said you're doing some other stuff, like you had a gym at one point.
Yeah.
Did you have any sales during those years that you were only going 50-50?
Very little. I will say I was young. I needed cash flow, right? We just needed to be able to pay the bills. We owned houses and cars and we had kids and daycare and all that stuff. So I had a really hard time taking off and really just figuring out, where's my business going to come from? I think a lot of that is limiting beliefs, right? My mindset. I thought I was too young. I didn't think people would trust me. I didn't think people, you know, would let me sell their house. And if I could go back and do things differently, I would definitely be in a different position today. But, you know, everybody has their journey. And I guess that was mine.
Right. And you found your way back into real estate too. So, I mean, that's impressive after everything that you kind of went through, even the recession in 2008, like that's, I don't know, a lot of people would come back to it after doing all that kind of stuff.
Yeah. You know, if I know a ton of agents who stuck out those 2008 to 12 years, 2008 to 2012, and built such an amazing business during that time because the industry was shifting and they were able to shift with it. At the time, I just didn't feel like I had the foundation or even the knowledge or to know what the next step was. So it was, sometimes we take the easy route. And I think that's what I did. I took the easy route. I got out of real estate and I realized I missed it. I enjoy the industry. I enjoy the people. I enjoy the whole process of real estate. So really I'm back in since 2018, 100% in sales. So I had another little space in there where I left and worked for a real estate marketing company. So I was coaching agents on social media marketing and I was their ops director for that third party company. So like I said, I kind of took the long route into getting back into sales.
Right. Well, that's an important process. It's cool that you were able to learn all that information, because obviously when you jump back as a full-time realtor, that obviously helps you out in the long run. So that's pretty cool to see. And so after you went through that teaching high school stint for a little bit and you went back into real estate, did you go full time then at that point, like full time real estate?
I did. So when I left high school education and I went back into real estate, I was an ops director for a team here in Plano, Texas. So really I did more of the back end, the office stuff, just kind of processes and database and all that good stuff. I wasn't doing really any client facing other than from the customer service side, but not from sales. So I did go back in 100%, but it was a little more of that corporate atmosphere, you know, which I always said I didn't want to be in. It took me on a completely different path that I wasn't expecting, because that is actually how I ended up in the role working for the third party marketing company. And I worked virtually for them. So they were based out of Boston. I was here in Dallas and I ended up running kind of the client services team in this area. So all my staff was virtual. Gotcha. And we learned a ton on the social media side. I was able to coach agents on how to generate more leads and really be more forward facing on social media. And after a couple of years of that, I realized I was still licensed. I'd had my license all this time and I was coaching agents to probably make three times the income I was making. And just kind of realized, you know, my kids were older. My kids are now 18 and 21. So I had one kind of graduating high school and, you know, one in high school. So my life was a little bit easier by that point. And when I went back into sales, I was able to launch really quickly that time around and had a lot more early success, which made it easier to stick out.
That's awesome. Let's actually dive into your kind of marketing stint for a little bit. So you said you were coaching realtors about how to take advantage of online presence and kind of learn how to generate leads online. So what were some of the top ways you would teach them how to do that? Because obviously things are moving more towards an online environment. Obviously we're at the EXP and, you know, it's a cloud-based brokerage, which is super exciting to see how that'll be implemented into the future. So what are some of the top ways you were teaching realtors to kind of use their online presence?
Yeah, at the time, I mean, even though we talked about video a little bit, it was really all about Facebook, everything we coached. So this is 2016 to 2018. We were just coaching almost 100% on Facebook, really how to stay in front of people, whether it was creating community Facebook groups and engaging that way, or really the Facebook, the lead capture posts that you still see today, right? That's what we were coaching on. And it was still a pretty new process, kind of how you actually get people to engage in those posts. And one of the things we did then that, you know, I'm seeing people move away from now, but I haven't quite moved away from this. When you're posting something online and you're trying to promote a property, yes, I want to sell that property, but more than anything, I'm looking to engage leads, buyer and seller leads. So mm-hmm. If I tell people, here's where it's located, here's how much it's listed for, here's all the details, then there's no engagement, right? You've given them everything they need. So we kind of went through this coaching process of really coaching agents on how to tell the story without giving all the details, because you want engagement. You want people to say, hey, where is this house located? How much is it listed for? You know, can I bring a horse because it's 2 acres or whatever that might be? We wanted people to engage with the post. And some of that is really just not giving away all the information, right? Make them ask the questions or make them fill out that lead capture form in order to get the information that they're looking for, because they may not want to buy that house, but they're thinking about buying a house. And that's really all we need to know, right? Who's walking in the door saying, you know, I'm ready to do something. And it's our job to then kind of track down the details and see how we can help.
Gotcha. And that's why like open houses are pretty crucial too, because just like you're talking about, so people that just walk in that do want to buy a house sometime in the near future. Yeah. And so you're talking about using Facebook ads back in like 2018. So do you guys still use that strategy today, or do you use any new strategies, or what does that look like for you?
Yeah, we do. We still use it. I don't do as much lead capture as I used to, just mostly because, you know, people are pretty savvy to exactly what that process looks like. They know when they give you their phone number and email that they're going to get called, they're going to get emails. So that's changed a little bit. I do a lot more messenger now, where people will, you know, I'll say, hey, message us for additional information. And they seem like that feels a little safer to them. Like they're not giving me their information, but they're engaging. And okay, once we get a little bit of back and forth, I'm like, great. Can we chat? Can I give you a call? So the process is a little bit more in depth now, but the leads are higher level leads. So even though we're kind of doing the same thing, we're really not doing those old Facebook lead capture forms anymore. We're just doing things a little differently.
Gotcha. We're still using Facebook ads though, for the most part.
Yeah. Facebook and Instagram pretty much exclusively. We do quite a bit of video. So we do use YouTube, and it's a great engagement tool. It's just a little less, you know, you don't know who's watching those, right? It's a little bit harder to track some of the YouTube. You can see the numbers, but you can't really tell, because the engagement, that back and forth messaging really isn't there. But we do get a lot of engagement out of videos. Right. I think videos are super important, because the people that are looking, if they're coming across your videos, they start to feel like they know you. There's a rapport built before you've ever, you know, met face to face. If I meet with a lead that has already watched some of our videos, maybe that's how they actually found us, then it's a done deal. Really, they're reaching out because they want to take the final step. So it just changes that funnel a little bit. It means the people that I'm engaging with aren't, you know, the Mickey Mouse emails. They are now the people who are like, hey, I watched your videos and I have some questions. And so it definitely changes the process.
It's 100% better when they reach out to you instead of the other way around, for sure.
Oh my gosh. Like, yeah, we don't cold call. I'm not a cold caller. I think there's a place for all different pieces of marketing in the industry. I just know most of those places aren't right for me. I even when we had expired listings, right, those don't exist right now. But even when they existed, I didn't call expired. That's just not the way I do business. I do so much through community groups and Facebook groups, and just kind of trying to be as hyper local as possible. Facebook and Instagram really has always been my platform.
Gotcha. I love that. And so, kind of going off that, so for new agents that are kind of coming initially, don't have a lot of money to spend on ads, like what would you recommend for them to kind of learn how to generate new leads as a brand new agent?
I mean, honestly, Facebook is really inexpensive. Even to run some ads, you don't have to have a lot of money to get in front of people, but engaging with your sphere and trying to get your family and friends involved to, you know, share your videos or share your posts, kind of let people know that you exist. You know, I did that early on where I'd say, hey, I would reach out to my girlfriends and say, hey, I just posted a video. Will you go like it? Or will you go share it? Or whatever might, you know, be relevant, because you need more people organically to see that video. And the more your friends and family engage, then the more other people will see it, because then it's their friends and family. So you get this kind of exponential growth organically, and it's free. It can be literally almost no money. Now, then when you can put some money behind it and sponsor some of that on Facebook, still, it doesn't have to be very much. It can be less than $100. And you can get a little more of that community outreach, right? By just dropping that map pin and going 10 miles or 30 miles or whatever your area looks like.
Right. No, yeah, that's a really good answer. And I don't know if you listen to Bigger Pockets podcast though, but some of the things that they say is that you should pretty much just go out there and call everyone on your phone and just tell them you're a realtor and just see what can happen out of those conversations.
Yeah.
And I feel like so many people that just are new in the industry, they're scared for some reason to kind of make, like, let the other people know that they're a realtor for some reason. So it's important to kind of get over that fear a little bit.
Yeah. And, you know, I mean, there's people out there that are rooting for you all the time. There's always family and friends, and sometimes people that you don't even know are rooting for you. And what I've learned is sometimes people are just waiting for you to ask for their help, and they actually want to be asked. They want to help you, but they don't know how. So letting people know that you're in real estate and then how they can help you. If you know of anybody that's thinking of buying, selling, or even maybe renting a house, I would love to chat with them. I'd love to earn their business. And so asking for those referrals is really important, because a lot of times people don't think on the same wavelength as an entrepreneur or business owner if they're not an entrepreneur or business owner. So they think of it maybe in a business aspect of like, oh yeah, I'm not looking to sell my house, but cool, you know. But right. When you change that conversation to, do you know of anyone else? Maybe somebody you work with or go to church with, somebody from your son's baseball team. If you talk to anybody like that and they mention it, I would love if you would share their information with me and I could reach out to them. So it's, some of it's just learning kind of how to script it, because everybody else doesn't know how to help you. You kind of have to teach them how to help you, right? Train them a little bit.
Right. Yeah. And no one really wants to be that pushy sales agent. So it's important to kind of realize like how to word it in conversation without coming across pushy, and then just getting your name out there over time. So that's pretty cool. So kind of going off of that, obviously you started back again in 2018, which is kind of crazy because then COVID hit. So it's like every time you jump into real things, something crazy happens like the next 2 years.
Yep.
So obviously you came in 2018. So, I mean, how did COVID kind of affect your business? Obviously now we're coming out of COVID. So what changes have you made like coming in and coming out then?
Well, so I'm fortunate enough to live in North Texas where COVID was almost not a thing. We basically pretended like it didn't exist. Right. We had the really short shutdown, you know, right there around March 2020. And where we kind of shut down from March to May. And so we did have that. We experienced it. Everything slowed down a little bit. And in the industry, we really did think, oh gosh, you know, we might have basically a shutdown. We might come to a screeching halt. And there was nothing further from the truth for us and for, you know, so much of the country. We just weren't expecting that everything skyrocketed after that. So personal experience, when people ask me what, you know, what's the market going to do? What can we expect even right now? Because we're at crazy all-time highs in our market. My personal story is when we came kind of out of COVID and we were summer of 2020, August timeframe, we decided to go ahead and sell our house. We're building a custom home right now. And so we decided to go ahead and list our house. We were back to the normal values pre-COVID. So we listed the house at like $550,000. We actually didn't even go on the MLS. An agent friend of mine had buyers. We sold it for $550,000. And that house today is worth $850,000 about 19 months later. So,
ouch.
Yeah, it's pretty painful. It's pretty painful. Now the new build is also worth another $300,000 or $400,000.
There you go.
We get the equity on that side, but we just never know. We don't know what the market's going to do. We have ideas and we have economists and we have all this data, but you just don't know what that next piece is going to create. So we had no idea we were going to create the low inventory that we have. And the mass, being in North Texas, we have had a mass influx of people from California, New York, Chicago. Yeah. Those are really our big three, it seems like.
Yeah. It's
and they're coming with big chunks of cash, and our market is completely out of whack right now and still really low inventory, and still, you know, homes are going 25, 50, 100,000 over on every listing pretty much.
That's some crazy stuff. And yeah, I mean, from what I've seen, it's like Texas and Florida, like you guys are just blowing up with like population right now. It's crazy to see.
Because we pretended COVID didn't exist.
Exactly. Maybe that's the way to do it. Yeah, so that's pretty cool. I wish we could talk more about this, but before we're out of time, I have a couple more questions for you. So kind of like looking at your future, like what are some of your big goals that you hope to get accomplished as a realtor or personal or anything along those lines?
Yeah. So, I actually just made the move to eXp. It's been about a month. So this is kind of a new thing for me being at eXp. I'm super excited about the business model and what our opportunities are. So I am looking at growing my personal team. And then obviously, you know, attracting more agents to eXp, because I ignored the model for so many years. And now I'm, you know, kind of kicking myself saying, I wish I'd paid more attention. And I'm kind of back in that education phase where I want to educate people and show them what the opportunities are. So that's probably my next big focus over the next 12 to 24 months is not only growing my own team with, I need two or three buyer's agents for sure. But then also kind of growing that eXp team as well.
Gotcha. Well, I'm sure you're definitely way ahead of the curve for joining eXp. So congrats on that. And that'll be cool to see you grow your team the next couple of years. So that'll be very cool. And then my next question is for realtors that are brand new in the industry, kind of just, this is your first year. Like, what's your number one tip for them to have success in the industry?
Oh my goodness. As many open houses as you can possibly do, like just live in open houses, hold everybody's house open that will let you hold it open. Post on social media as much as possible, be in front of people. You don't have to be pushy to let people know what you're doing. If you don't have listings, ask another agent in your market if you can borrow their listings to promote, because that's the number one thing I hear from agents are like, I don't have anything to promote. I don't know what to do. I don't know how to get more people. So promoting other listings in your area that an agent will allow you to promote is a huge way to get some interaction, right? It's not fake it till you make it, but it's a little bit, right? If you don't have that beautiful listing to hold open, then ask somebody if you can hold theirs open. And then you utilize it for your marketing. You take pictures, you do videos while you're in there. You let people know how you can help them get into that house. So you can always promote real estate even when you don't have listings. And I think that's the biggest thing, is just being in front of people as much as possible, letting them know that you're busy and you're an active agent, and then that you're there to provide service.
Yeah, those are all really great tips. And so before we hop off, is there anything else you would like to say? And if people want to reach out to you, how can they find you?
Yep, they can find us at havenhometeam.com. And we are on Facebook and Instagram and all those places, YouTube. So we're pretty easy to track down. And we're in the North Dallas market. So anything north of Dallas is pretty much us.
Awesome. All right, guys, there you have it. Holly Haven, thank you so much for joining me today. No way that we go. Nothing that we love is a one day key. And if we gon' do it, we gon' do this now. And if we say we gonna, we gon' hold this down.
Nothing that we love is a one-day key. And if we gon' do it, we gon' do this now. And if we say we gonna, we gon' hold it's this down.